Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. Welcome back to the show, Mark.
Glad to be here, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Mark, do we have a special offer for listeners?
Yeah, let's do it. 2022, we're still using that. 2022 half off. You get 50% off of any of our VRTrader.com newsletters. Just enter that promo code, 2022 half off, in the promo code slot when you place an order. And I do like to reaffirm that I'm not an investment advisor, nor do I provide investment advice.
But you do bring up points of interest that could help your trades.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, personally, we do a lot of trading and stuff, too. So, you know, we try to use this stuff. There are some decent mentions in the newsletter, so we do our best. We've already been doing it, what, now, almost 44 years. So we're, I guess we consider ourselves survivors, though obviously we're not going to catch every market move. You know, frankly, I've been more bearish since last fall, and the thing is, we've been trading a lot on the short side and making money, you know, at least in terms of the newsletter hypothetical comments. You know, last several days we're short, you know, market rallies in the morning, sells off, we take a profit. So the market's been struggling here, and we had a little double top formation, is a technical term, in the Dow Industrials the last couple of days. So the Dow is having trouble breaking through here. You know, but we've got the what Jim Cramer calls the Magnificent Seven out there, the seven stocks that seem to be, you know, take up most of the movement in the index. They weigh, you know, for what's a story, the only you actually should call the S&P 500 the S&P 493 and take out the seven, because without those seven, the index wouldn't be doing what it's doing. In fact, there's a chart we put in the newsletter. You know, the S&P is virtually flat if it wasn't for these seven stocks, you know, taking the index up. So is it just mass hysteria? Is it the plunge protection team out there manipulating it? But the stocks are Apple, Microsoft, NVIDIA, Amazon, Meta, which was a former Facebook, Tesla, and Google. And among those, it seems like all the allocation you know, for traders seems to be there driving it higher. I believe Apple might have even made a new high today on Thursday. And based on the capitalization, I think it's the largest capitalized stock now in existence by virtue of its price and tape action. So, yeah, I mean, what can I tell you? There's so much going on, but we did it. Some of the cycle work has been paying out for us. The next big cycle period is the fall, September. That's also possibly coincident with the four-year presidential cycle low, which is due around that time frame. So for the most part, I would say, you know, even though the nifty Magnificent Seven stocks have done well here and may rally a bit more, you know, I wouldn't be chasing them. And, you know, if you want to trade them day to day, in and out, that's one thing. But my overall view is market should sell off into the fall, and we'll see if that happens. But the news environment is crazy. I don't even know where to get started. I mean, everybody's talking about the Fed. They paused. But they're also saying they're going to raise rates and are committed to a 2% inflation rate, which I don't think they can do. But if they do, we're going to have such a serious recession or depression in the interim that they'll probably have to flip around and start lowering rates dramatically, and then you'll get a super boom in the stock market, and that would coincide, I guess, nicely with the presidential election campaigning next year and the actual election. So obviously that's going to do a lot on the Fed's ammunition, I guess, if they want to play politics. So maybe that's what it's all about, drive rates up, create a big sell-off into the last quarter of the year, and then we reverse and start pumping money back in, and everything looks good for the election. Maybe that's part and parcel of the plan. So for the time being, we're just it's summer and there's still some action, but I'm not excited. And there's so many stories out there. I just keep repeating myself. You've got Biden talking about Xi being a dictator, which was just politically incorrect, obviously. We've got China setting up military bases in Cuba. We've got weather events out there. We try to cover the geocosmic. We've got El Nino out there with the heated oceans, creating havoc in the commodity markets. A lot of the big commodities are higher, and prices have been moving up because of the weather change. And some of the heating might be due to some of that volcanic activity you and I have been talking about for months. There's like 43 active volcanoes on the planet now. So a lot of the stuff that I talked about, sad story today, it was of course the submarine off the Titanic apparently had some type of internal failure and imploded, and we lost those very brave men. And, so anyway, that's sort of a keynote summary here.
Yes, cocoa futures. If you like a little cocoa, and I have one usually after swimming at night, they've gone up. Last year, coffee prices went nuts. And, of course, Starbucks and the other people boosted coffee prices. Then they came down quite drastically, but they never passed that savings on. So if they boost cocoa prices, will we see price relief when they come down? Bet you we don't.
Probably not.
Yeah.
But, all across the board, we got soybeans, corn, wheat, the commodity indexes all up. It's sort of funny because you try to tie the commodity markets inversely with the U.S. dollar, and strength in the U.S. dollar would drive prices down in commodities, and we've had the dollar really not do much here. It hit a little pullback, but we saw a big surge in the commodities due to the weather and the El Nino situation, I believe, is the way we can best attribute that to. So, we sit here, we talk about Federal Reserve and all this stuff, but the weather had a big impact on the markets, and I don't hear too much talk about that, but this is why we track this stuff. Meanwhile, looks like those commodity prices may still go higher.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Mark, is there anything going on with crude?
Well, it's still in a corrective phase, much as the gold market, too, by the way. They're tracking, more or less together, and I don't know if it's related directly to the dollar or not, because the dollar in the last few days really hasn't done very much. It goes up, down, back and forth. It's trading in a very tight range, so if you attribute the movement to the new U.S. dollar, I don't think, necessarily that. They're just in cyclical corrective phases here, and we're tracking very carefully. We watch some key moving averages. I think gold's going a little bit lower before it goes up, and we sort of put those numbers in the newsletter. And same thing with crude oil. So I guess we're looking in both, possibly a little bit more of a washout here before they go up again. So I'm overall bullish, waiting for the buying opportunity in both. but they are in corrections, and we talk about, you know, the levels and so forth here. So we actually had some inverse ETFs in our list for a while, that is playing a short side in the precious metals, not so much in oil, but thinking that, you know, the volume is to the downside and they are in corrective phases. So each dog has its day, and they're in a little a corrective wave right now. So I'm guessing that by the end of summer, the way they're tracking, maybe we'll hit a bottom here and we'll have a nice rally, if not a huge one. Now, I do have this theory that if the U.S. dollar could break the $1 level, it's around 102 now, that could really trigger a big move in gold and possibly send it well through that 2080 high up to, who knows, 2200 or higher. So watching a hopeful weakness in the dollar, particularly under that one level, could be a big trigger, and might also be for oil at the same time. So just got to watch that, see if that unfolds in the weeks ahead.
What's happening on the cryptocurrency front?
A lot of fun with Bitcoin. It took off the last few days and pulled back the last couple of days, though it did rally a little bit today, Thursday. You know, I just keep saying, you know, it's in play. You know, you might have to take a 2 or 3 year time frame with the darn thing. And we've talked about this ad nauseum with the Securities and Exchange Commission, you know, trying to regulate many of the crypto. Some, you know, did some illegal stuff supposedly, but, you know, they're just, you know, just creating a hard time. And of course the government has its own agenda, looking for its own digital currency at some point, because they've already have it in the works. But, you know, Bitcoin should be okay, and I made this crazy prediction, you know, 2-3 years out it could probably be back up through that 60,000 level, maybe in the 70,000 or 80,000 level. But again, that's a 2-3 year comment, and you know, we just, you know, if you're trading, you obviously got to have a much shorter time frame. But if you put a few away, it's almost like holding a few gold coins. You know what I mean? It depends how serious you want to be about it. But if you own a Bitcoin, I would bet 2-3 years from now you'll make a lot of money in it.
On the geocosmic front, what's going on there?
Well, we talked about El Nino, yeah. And I think that's the big thing. We had a lunar event here just a few days ago with the moon. You know, I'm always tracking the lunar cycles. And why? Because over time we found sometimes you get lows and highs. For example, on June 17th, there was a new moon, and the market topped for most stocks within a day or two of that new moon. So I was turned on to this back in the early 1970s with Ian McAvity from Deliberations Newsletter, when he identified the correlation between the lunar cycles and gold. So ever since then, I track all the markets. We got a full moon coming up July 3rd, just before the 4th of July holiday. So I would expect to see the market hit a low or high point within a day or two of that. And if it does, that would give me a trading signal of some kind. So we're watching that. In the big picture, you know, we did have the summer solstice here. I had thought it would be a low point in the market. Based on what we saw last year, we saw a big low, I think June 16th or 17th, and the solstice was on the 20th, the 22nd. So here we are, and definitely we've had some volatility here around the solstice, that's for sure. So it turned out to be more of a high point than a low point. Now we've got to focus on the autumnal equinox, which is September 22nd, 23rd, which I think should be a low, because that's a seasonal time for a market low, plus the presidential cycle that I referred to earlier in the broadcast. So, those are the main things. But, you know, you got volcanic activity, you've got El Nino warming up the oceans, you've got all kinds of fun stuff going on out there, and we just watch this stuff. There's always something out there. Nothing pressing in the solar activity. I keep tracking that. Solar websites keep talking about that Carrington event that which you and I have talked about ad nauseum from the mid-1800s, and articles about, you know, when and if that ever happened, what that would do to our communications here on Earth if there was a huge sunspot solar flare event, which is going to happen, but yeah. It could be 1,000 years from now, it could be tomorrow morning. So it just is why there's serious science tracking the solar activity, and you don't hear much reports about it, but if you go to the space websites, they're tracking every solar sunspot and flare, minute by minute, second by second, because they know what the result could be. I believe there was a big solar surge I read the other day that affected Venus and Mercury, not the Earth, that somehow the flares went the opposite direction and did something to the other planets, but not to us. So there was some mention about the activity in the space age. You go to the NASA website at spaceweather.com, and you can check a lot of the stuff. It's fascinating. And, you know, for people who watch it, you can see, you know, auroras and all kinds of stuff, some of them pretty far south, not necessarily up by the, in your part of the world, in Canada and north, when there's a huge solar flare, sometimes you could see the auroras come very far south, and you can see the effect on the atmosphere. But that's not the big one that we're worried about. You know, if there is something more serious, we'll hopefully have a warning about it, and it may not do any good if we have the warning, because if it's as big as what we saw back in the Carrington event back in the mid-1800s, it's going to be pretty serious. But for now, what are we looking for? You know, we're looking for a choppy market overall, I think, with I believe, downward bias into the fall. Watch gold and oil for buy points. Watch those commodities. If the weather continues to not cooperate, we could see still higher prices of any of the key commodities. And, of course, we also have to deal with crazy stories like the I was going to pull it up here and refer to the details about killing the cows as a way to help our climate. You know, that's what's one of the suggestions being made by the green lunatics that are talking about saving our planet. I believe they're cutting back cows in Europe now, in the Netherlands, or some such location where they're reducing the amount of cows that you're able to produce in fear that the too many cows is going to, you know, mess up the Earth's climate and atmosphere. So we've got a lot of idiots out there. Unfortunately, they're in government and in politics, and it's many in the markets, but that's life, you know. Hopefully they come to the realization that they were wrong at some point versus, at the, you know, via killing us first. So,
Mark, always fun chatting.
And my pleasure. Thanks a lot. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk next week.
My guest has been Mark Leibovitz, editor and publisher of the Leibovitz VR newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He also has a special offer if you go and visit his website. If you have any questions for Mark or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. We'll ask that question for you. Find us on Twitter at HowStreet. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com Radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.